I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Bim Bimmer, who's got the keys to the weekend, everybody? Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betway. It was gutting for West Ham, but glorious for Rangers. It's Friday, 6th of May. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Vidushin Hantharaja.
Welcome, one and all. What a beautiful day in the kingdom, eh? Lovely sunny day, Jim Campbell. You look radiant, cousin.
I feel radiant. Weekend's nearly here and you're jangling the keys. Nearly in the bowl.
Vichy baby, it's been a while.
Has it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't feel comfortable putting you in charge of my weekends. I don't think you like having the responsibility of my weekends, do you?
I'll take it away like I did the last one.
Still get out.
Oh,
still getting in there.
How do you feel?
Too many
morning?
Of us. You can't keep an eye on all of us at once.
Not all of you, but most of you. And that's enough, as long as you get a majority, eh? Eh? Know what I mean, Wandsworth? So we've had the Europa League and Europa Conference League action. We start with West Ham. They lost 1-0 to Eintracht Frankfurt, of course, going out 3-1 on aggregate. Oh, Jim.
Yeah.
We all wanted them to go through.
We really did.
What a frustrating evening.
Yeah, frustrating is exactly the right word, isn't it? I mean, the sending off from Aaron Cresswell, just so frustrating, so unfortunate. And it's one of those ones where it's not like he's chinned anyone, is it? It's not like a really late tackle or like some sort of horrendous obvious. Like it's just one
it's
of those
a red
like,
card.
It is, no, I'm not.
You sound like his mate talking to a policeman at like 1 a.m.
Just let him go. I felt like that. But it's just clumsy, isn't it? And it's in a way, it's the worst type of red card to concede because it's just a little bit hapless. It looks a bit leggy. Yep. Perhaps overawed by the occasion. Mm-hmm. The firework tifo. At the beginning of the game, like with the West Ham fans looking at that, like I was thinking, how is that possible? Is this magic? Is this witchcraft?
What a flex!
How can we possibly win this? Exactly, it felt like a big flex, didn't it? And Frankfurt, they were so noisy and all wearing their away kit. Do you know why they were wearing the away kit?
By the way, that's such an Arsenal fan. And look, I'm a Fulham fan, but to call them noisy.
No, but in terms of the way that it intimidated,
can you keep it
West
down
Ham,
over there? Don't turn it off,
riff raff. Keep it down here. Yeah. We're trying to enjoy the association football.
They were very noisy, Jim. They were noisy, but in a way that the point was to ruffle West Ham, and I think it worked. They were wearing the away kit, apparently, as a reminder of how good they'd been in the first leg. That was what Frankfurt's... that was what the message from Frankfurt was remind them of that. And I think it just...
That's a little bit unhinged, isn't it?
Right. Yeah, they're
going to play as the Babadook.
Frightening.
Did they go in the away dressing room as well?
I have no idea.
Yeah,
but
they flew into the city actually, very bad for the environment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. In a very strange stop motion manner. But yeah, like it was kind of dead as a contest after that, wasn't it? Which is the last thing you want. And Moyes said after the game that really they lost it in the first 45 seconds of the first leg by conceding that goal. Yeah. And I think there's an element of truth to that. But they still had to overcome that. They had a mountain to climb, and it was just unfortunately too much for them.
Yeah, it was just when Cresswell gets that red card, everybody just knows that's really it. It's even... Because we thought this needs to be a big performance from West Ham. Eintracht Frankfurt, despite their league position in the Bundesliga, have been phenomenally good in the Europa League this season, and their home form has been very, very good as well. Well, their away form as well, but the home form and the atmosphere, as Jim's mentioned there. So it was needed to be a big performance, and then after 19 minutes, you just think, okay, this needs to be the greatest night in their history.
Yeah, and they need a lot to go their way from that point on. I think that was what I imagine West Ham fans waking up today will feel upset, but also the fact, you know, it's one thing to not do yourself justice on a day like that, and it's another thing to be like, we couldn't do it. Like, it was the opportunity was taken away from us.
That's right. They actually started fairly brightly. It looked relatively even, maybe edging towards West Ham before the sending off, but Frankfurt just did a job on them, didn't they? They were really, really professional about it, and it wasn't particularly thrilling from their perspective. The goal was brilliant. The way he loses Dawson was just so clever and such brilliant movement.
But even the goal, though, you think to yourself, it's not that long after the sending off. I was surprised how easily he didn't leave Dawson. I know it's easier said than done, but you just think, oh, be a little bit tighter, you know, because you just need to, because a 1-0 victory for West Ham would take it to the, or 1-0, you know, take it to extra time, blah, 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 blah. You've just got to keep it tight and you've just got to hang on in there and hope for the best. But obviously it wasn't to be, but you're right, Vish, you know, to not be able to, you didn't give it your all and go, oh, you know, it was a great game, we were just on the wrong side of it, or beaten by the better side. Yeah. It's like, we'll never know. And West Ham, who knows how long it'll be when they're back in that situation. We hope for their sake that it will be reasonably soon. But, you know, European football next year is not a given for them, you know, with the league positions and so on and so forth.
Also, it was an opportunity for the Champions League.
Yeah.
Just as the league, you know, as a league form taken off, the Europa League, obviously the run just kept going.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was a sense of like, fuck, that would be, what a cool way to, I mean, there's, you know, obviously finishing fourth, there's a lot of importance behind it. Mm. But to win a trophy and then get access to the Champions League.
That's the way you want to do it.
Double hit,
That's the way you want to do it. And I think we said on yesterday's show that this semi-final in particular, the loser will just think, what an opportunity. Because in the other one, which we'll obviously come on to, it was a little bit more of a mismatch. This felt like a 50-50 type of game. Whereas RB Leipzig, you know, with their money and all the rest of it, they'll be back at some point or another. You know, Rangers, obviously wonderful for them. If they go out to that bigger side, they go, do you know what, we've given it our all kind of thing. Whereas this game, as it was much more evenly balanced, Frankfurt will be absolutely loving it this morning, and they will be absolutely gutted.
Yeah, even if, I would say, even if West Ham had won, you'd think that we'd probably be in here talking about the fact that they missed a huge opportunity after seeing off Barcelona.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the fact that they have that in the chamber now. And to be honest, pretty comprehensive two-legged win against West Ham.
Yeah.
Going into the final, like it's you know, it's great for them. Yeah.
Well, Declan Rice said that there's no way Frankfurt are better than Sevilla or Lyon. Now, that
he's right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Andy's not been particularly complimentary of Lyon this season. He also said he was proud of his team and he walked off the pitch with his chest held high. Well done, him.
He does walk funny, doesn't he?
Yeah, I mean, that is going to...
That does make sense.
Affect your neck, isn't it?
Yeah. I think it makes...
Not good for posture, is it?
Not great for posture,
I'm not really one to talk.
He was very critical of the referee, we have to say. But again, it just that's the trouble with that sending off. It is a sending off. Mm-hmm. And nobody wants it to be, other than Eintracht Frankfurt fans and maybe a few others, nobody wants that to be a sending off, but it was a sending off. As Carlton Cole said, you can't be handsy in the Europa League. Handsy Flick may disagree with that, but he's probably not going to be in the Europa League anytime soon. And of course, David Moyes lost his head.
Yeah, I mean, that was a sending off.
Yes, that was very much. I mean, Moyes, he's enjoyed it so much. And then do you think that, you know, he spent all of that credit on the happy times? He needed to, you know, bang, back down to earth with that. Yeah. I mean, it was kicking a ball boy. Pretty shocking, really, for a manager to do something
like
that.
Yeah, although what he said about it was absolutely phenomenal.
He did, yeah. I thought we were going to get, you know, I sincerely apologise. That's poor of me to do that, blah, 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 blah. He went a little bit there. He said, I have to apologise for kicking the ball, but the ball boy left it short and it was nicely on the volley for me.
You know what? I kind of know what he means.
We all know what it's like when there's a football just knocking about. You can't leave it alone.
Especially if it's a volley.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. I think Moyes is right. Yeah. Now, in my mind...
I think he's right.
I agree. I've
right
done
do
the same
it, or
thing.
Just right to say it.
Right to do it and to say it. He's just been honest. Now, in my mind, and I don't want to be corrected on this, if anyone knows what actually happens, when you're sent off, it's like detention, right? Yeah. You get sent to the dressing room. Yeah. You have to stay there. You can't even shower. You've got to sit there in your kit and think about what you've done. You can't have your phone. You just got to sit there. So in my mind, when Cresswell's sitting there in the second half, just like feeling really down, then sees Moyes come in, I'm wondering what's going through his head. He's like, is he this angry with me? And then you've gone as well. You've gone as well. What happened? What are you in for?
Yeah.
It just sat up so nice. It just sat up on the volley. I'd have done the same, Gaffer. I'd have done the same.
I know what you mean. Yeah, and his arm was just there. I thought, oh, I'd love to give that a little tug.
Yeah.
Can't be handy in the Europa League, son.
Oh, dear. Well, we've seen another pitch invasion this week, of course. We saw one at Fulham earlier on in the week, and we saw one in Frankfurt last
grass
night.
Didn't get involved. Now talking about it on here, they were on the pitch at Fulham the other week.
I think people were aware of it. They're not sort of, this is not news to people.
I know what he's doing.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Vladimir Kufal wasn't worried about the Frankfurt fans coming on at full time. He said, I wasn't scared. If a fan attacks me, it would be their problem, not mine.
He looks like a hard bastard.
Presumably just headed them away, would he?
Yeah,
it'd be like a battle scene in a big sort of movie, wouldn't it? You just see bodies flying around.
Like Thor.
And then, and then Kufal just emerging.
You want some? Or Tony Cotti getting involved. Did you see him on a fountain?
I did see him on a fountain.
I assume that's the main square in Frankfurt, leading the chant.
Someone made the point that it looked like he was doing it against his will.
Yeah, that was... I thought he looked a little bit unnatural there.
Oh, maybe he was just... Maybe it was peer pressure.
Possibly.
That's a shame.
Yeah. Well, it is gutting for West Ham. I mean, you would say, though, that despite this, we can't overlook the fact that a semi-final in the Europa League and where they currently are in the Premier League, they've overachieved.
But I think it will go down as a season that feels like a really missed opportunity, doesn't it? And I the focus now has to be essentially finishing in a Europa League place, because they could drop into the Conference League, and that will feel like a disappointment, bearing in mind what they've been looking at all season. Although it still will be an achievement. Any sort of European football, I think, is vital for them to continue in their sort of upward trajectory.
Yeah.
But it's just like, a team like West Ham, they don't have opportunities like this come along that often. No. And obviously they're trying to build towards changing that. But it feels like it's almost Sisyphean, isn't it? You get to the top of the mountain and then down you go again.
Yeah.
It's going to be an absolute nightmare getting back up there.
Or snakes and ladders.
All that.
Yeah, I really felt like West Ham needed this. And I got the sense, you know, Moyes kicking off yesterday, I'm not that surprised. Because if you look at over the last couple of weeks in the Premier League, he was pretty angry after the Chelsea game, because people were asking about Declan Rice's future and things like that. And I think like he was putting his eggs in this basket, which makes sense at this stage of the season, absolutely. You know, it's a European semi-final. But I wonder if he has a real job on his hands. I don't even mean to lift the players or even really himself, but almost just planning for the summer. And what do you do? Do you Do you buy the players that you were looking at 2 years ago? Mm. Do you try and get that extra bit of quality, knowing the risks that come with it, with having to pay top tier fees?
Yeah,
I don't really know. It'll be really interesting to see how he's backed by the owners.
Yeah, absolutely right, gentlemen. We've got to move on to the other semi final, of course, because Glasgow Rangers are in the bloody final.
I was flicking between the games, and the difference in atmosphere was unreal.
Yeah, well, between the two British sides.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. It was comparable in terms of the stadium.
Incredible.
But I honestly thought, again, talking to Andy, you know, RB Leipzig, they're a good side. I mean, really, they're knocking on a regular Champions League side. That's what they are certainly building towards. You know, we have seen them in the Champions League before. But after that first leg with sort of the late goal, you thought, oh, that is a bit of a hammer blow. That really is a big ask for Rangers to go and do this without first choice strikers available. You know, Morelos being the obvious one, he's not there. But they're in the bloody, they managed to do it. I mean, it's 3-1. Very impressive. Similar to what they did in previous round as well. But James Tavernier, I mean, at 30 years old, scoring his seventh goal in the competition this season. We don't need a striker if you've got him galloping down that right side.
Top scorer in the competition. And he is a right back by position.
I know he takes a few penalties, but still, they're not all been penalties. And they still count, by the way.
It's something like his 80th goal for Rangers. It's astonishing.
It is remarkable. But you look at the guys who have scored the goals. You know, Glenn Kamara got a lovely one as well, and Lundstrom as well, who, because of that surname, I always think he's Scandinavian.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you hear his accent, and he really isn't Scandinavian. But you look at the signings that Gerrard made and subsequently since, they're actually quite canny. I mean, Tavernier has been at the club since, 2015?
Yeah.
But really was a kind of a bit of a championship player.
Bit of a journeyman.
A little bit of a journeyman, out on loan.
Who didn't score goals.
No, exactly. Not in Europa League semi-finals.
No.
Certainly. And so he's been sort of moulded into this player who now plays for a team who demand that you win week in, week out. Whereas if you are playing for a championship side, unless you finish top, but even if you do, you're then in the Premier League and it's a totally different story. But Tavernier would play maybe sort of lower half a Premier League side. It's a very different dynamic. It's very different going into games when you're in front of a partisan crowd of 50,000 plus. Again, who expects you to win every week? Who are challenging for trophies? All that kind of stuff. I know it has been different. You know, Gerrard pulled them up to that sort of winning away and obviously won the league and so on. Kamara was at Dundee before. Lundstrom was at Sheffield United. Yeah, played in the Premier League, but was obviously back down in the Championship. They've turned this side progressively over the last few years into a side that is now in the Europa League final.
Yeah, and there's some dynamism to it as well.
There really is, yeah. I mean, I know we talk about the atmosphere, which has been great and so on, and oh my. I mean, talk about my giddy aunt, my giddy Ally McCoist. You know, I mean, I just... I thought it was very good of him, actually, to return to punditing duties at the end of the match, because I thought we were going to see him topless in the crowd.
Yeah. You know? He did well to keep his top on.
He did very, right. Very, very well, yeah. Some real hard discipline and professionalism from McCoist there, because I thought, as I say, he'd be away with everybody. But incredible, Vish. I mean, you obviously saw Rangers earlier on in the competition, but their home form has been crucial in this. Despite, I mean, they did win away in Dortmund as well. But I mean, what did you make of last night? Because this is, again, people deride Scottish football. We understand why. You know, you've got the top two who have not covered themselves that much in glory in Europe. I mean, Rangers were in a European final. What was it, 2007? So not that long ago. Celtic in 2003, also in Seville. But it is a very rare thing to see a Scottish side reach a European final.
Yeah, absolutely. And you think of, you mentioned there the players that they've recruited. That's kind of how they've had to operate for a while, trying to find bargains here and there when Gerrard was there leaning on his contacts, essentially. Ryan Kent, who's been their player of the tournament, I'd say. He's been a remarkable point of difference, especially given that there's a little bit of Harvey Barnes about him in that.
I know what you mean.
He doesn't really do stepovers, but he always gets past someone.
Yes.
And he's very direct.
But he also doesn't like just knock it past someone and run onto it. I don't know what he's doing.
Did he?
It's tricking me as well.
Did he do a stepover when he put the ball in that led to Lundstrom's goal? I just want to say that just in case he
might have done, actually.
Didn't
want
to leave you short there.
but also, I think it's the way that these players are actually quite dexterous. Lundstrom in particular. Mm. He's played a variety of different roles for Rangers, specifically in this cup run. And I'm mentioning this because I covered the game, so I saw it firsthand. But against Dortmund in the second half, Van Bronckhorst went to a back three, and Lundstrom dropped from midfield, in, you know, into centre back, and he was a colossus, really, and he really shut them down. And then he's
here. Learned that under Chris Wilder,
yeah, probably.
But then
you know, arriving in the box to score, you know, the winner that he did. Even Glenn Kamara, you know, you Google Glenn Kamara's name, and what comes up is that disgusting incident against Slavia Prague.
Yeah.
And it's pretty cool that he had this actual football moment. High profile thing.
Well, I think, because Gerrard in the Europa League with Rangers was decent. They had a good time, and that Slavia Prague side were a good side, and obviously got the better of them. When it was a case of can Van Bronckhorst take him that extra stage? But when they draw Dortmund, you think, well, the favourites, come on, that's a bit of a tricky one. Well, they win that, then they beat Red Star, and then they beat Braga, and now when they get to the semi-final again, they're playing the new favourites for the tournament.
Yeah.
And to get through that, I mean, Leipzig is a little stat for you. Leipzig's five-year net spend is almost £300 million more than Rangers.
It's amazing.
It is amazing.
I do love how Van Bronckhorst kept referring to them as Red Bull. They will hate that. Yeah, yes. that was really needle them. And you could tell it wasn't deliberate, and that will be worse.
Totally, yeah. We should give a mention to Nkunku's goal.
Oh, yeah.
Which was such a lovely finish. Because Rangers, they give him the old 1-2, and you think, have they scored too early? Because it's unlikely you're going to keep a clean sheet with the quality that Red Bull have. And you know, can you go again? And of course, when he gets that equaliser, it's beautiful.
Given them wings? You're worried, aren't they?
Very worried, yeah. And and then
now they can't get to bed.
It's just a ball in the box. Gulacsi flaps at it, and then there's Lundstrom to tap in. And then the celebration. There was a fan who looked, you know, when you see a fully grown man who's just that tiny bit beyond excited and jubilant, and you think you need to calm down now because this is going to spill out. This is going to be. And I think, he took a step back. But goodness.
Big save from Alan McGregor in there, which I think needs.
He will do that.
He played his part.
In the Europa League.
He will.
Yes. Yeah.
But yeah, they go to Seville in search of glory. Of course, as I mentioned earlier, Celtic went to the same city, different stadium back in, pretty sure it was 2003, when Mourinho's Porto beat them. So there we are.
So they'll be supporting them, won't they?
I would imagine.
Really bring Glasgow together. Yeah.
Well, Pete Donaldson put a marker down with his half and half Rangers and Celtic shirt at that Ramble Live show. And this is part two. And this will bring it home for them.
I know we say it a lot about various different things that he does, but it's remarkable that Pete's still alive, isn't it?
I know what you mean. Yeah. And I think we should legally leave that there. but we mentioned Jose Mourinho, and he's in another final.
He's going to be the first manager to win all three European trophies, isn't he?
Exactly,
and he's going to claim that it's the most significant victory of the season.
Yes.
In a way, he will be right as well, because he'll have won the Europa League, the Champions League, and the Conference League, which no one else has done before because no one else has had the opportunity. And this is just how he operates.
Yeah. And that he meant to do it.
Absolutely.
No, I wanted to be in the Conference
Absolutely,
League.
Absolutely, yeah. How else could I complete the clean sweep?
Yes, he will do that. There's no doubt about that. But he's also covering all tracks, because he said, of course, I have had bigger moments than this, but I am not feeling for myself. I am feeling for the people and my players. This, for us, is our Champions League.
Yeah. He would say that kind of stuff in his wedding speech, wouldn't he?
I think so, yeah.
Obviously, I've been with hotter women. like, much hotter, actually.
Yeah.
But,
I'll give you the numbers. Here's the body count.
Body count. Anyway, but Roma did beat Leicester 1-0, 2-1, of course, on aggregate. Tammy Abraham!
Yeah.
Our very own.
It should never have happened, that goal, because of the corner, the weird circumstances of the corner.
Oh, yeah,
Schmeichel's,
yes.
Like, slapping the ball into the ground. It was a really odd save.
Well, actually, it's funny you say that, because I think Abraham was waiting for it to come back out, and he was head in hands because he knew that if Schmeichel's not going to hold that, he's going to parry it back into play, and he'll pounce.
Yeah, brilliant header from Abraham. Not to take away from that, it's an absolute bullet header. What a season he's having as well.
He's having a remarkable season, and really, you know, I always like to bring it back to this, should be the number two behind Harry Kane up front for England. You've got to say, haven't you, on terms of
form, absolutely.
Form and
even the way he's been playing for Roma, the way he's connected things probably better than he did when he obviously started young at Chelsea, when he gets that season under Lampard, and they, because of the transfer ban, they throw him in. But I'm quite fascinated by the Arsenal links because I really want him to stay in Rome.
Yeah,
I feel like this is really helping his development, and they kind of don't need to come back.
And Chris Smalling needs a pal.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
Mind you,
Ainsley Maitland-Niles is out there as well.
He is. So yeah. Ooh, yeah. And without getting too sidetracked, you know, Tomori should get a call from Southgate soon.
Absolutely.
But anyway, but Chris Smalling. How was that not given as a penalty?
Yeah, I thought he was lucky there, actually.
It was a proper rugby tackle stuff, that. And they are given these days. As well.
It might be a Mourinho shithouse card. Like, you get one of those a game.
Yeah, possibly. Quite, but yeah, it wouldn't shock me if, like, I know the referee... I don't believe the referee went over to the VAR monitor. But if, like, Mourinho, like, trying to block his view from looking at the monitor or something. Like, are they kind of really blurry TV?
Just played an incident from earlier.
You remember those watches that used to turn off the television?
Yes!
He had a lad in the class who was doing the teacher. He's got one of them, isn't he? Oh, obviously it's not working. No, I just can't win a game. Nobody saw that. But Abraham was asked, and he did say that he was surprised he was marked by 5'7" Ricardo Pereira from the corner, because he said...
Height shaming.
He did say that... I'm not the best header of the ball and so on. But I mean, he's a lot taller and he is a striker on form. So
that is interesting though, isn't it?
Seems like a real oversight that from Leicester, who have conceded 17 goals from corners this season. And Roger said they needed to work on that last weekend when they lost to Spurs.
They've been awful.
And that's the moment that decided the tie.
Yeah.
You look at that and you think, oh.
And that is also one of those things that is like, eminently coachable. It is surely one of the basics on the training ground. And you think we think of Rodgers as being a really sort of dynamic, details-based manager. And if that's starting to slip, maybe his time at Leicester is drawing to a close.
Yeah, but it's gutting for Leicester. But, you know, they can sort of say, well, you know, beaten by a good side and a canny operator who knows how to grind out a 1-0 win.
Absolutely.
With these kind of games.
This makes this quite a very underwhelming season for Leicester, right? I mean, it's not last season, Marcus, they were on the verge.
Yeah, they were on
They've
the
been nowhere near the verge this
Blimey,
year.
I've forgotten all about the verge. I think a European semi-final is very respectable.
True.
But Roma will play Reece Nelson's Feyenoord.
They will.
In the final. We look forward to that one, of course, which will be played soon enough in Albania. There we are. All right, everybody, let's have a quick break.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
In football, you've worked with and alongside some of the biggest names in the game, some of the biggest coaches you've come up against as well. Who's been your biggest influence in your coaching career?
I think myself.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betway, everybody.
Giving himself away at his own wedding.
It's time for emails.
Peter's jingle had a good run. We loved it once, but that love's gone. You can get in touch, just email show at footballramble.com.
That one always makes me feel like I'm about to be stuffed into a big wicker man.
Oh, yeah.
It's got that vibe, isn't it?
Okay.
Stelios has been in touch. He says, my name is Stelios from Larnaca in Cyprus.
I'm Stelios?
Stelios.
I'm Stelios?
Stelios then.
Okay.
Spelios over there. my name is Stelios from Larnaca in Cyprus. I'm a long-time Cypriot listener, first-time mailer. I'm emailing in because I keep seeing Neil Lennon everywhere I go. Whilst driving, walking in the street, he's even having pints in my local pub, cry laughing emoji. To be honest, I'm surprised he's still here, as I remember some Cypriots not being happy with him because of being in the pub after a 3-0 loss to a shitter team. The Ted Lasso of Cyprus? I don't mind him, though. As the only Leicester fan in Cyprus, it's good to have someone on my side. Also, he's made it to the Cyprus Cup final, and Omani are favourites to win it. What should I tell him next time I see him?
Well,
I'd be careful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't poke the bear.
It's
a fiery, fiery character.
I love how in that email when he's chatting away, he says, I better put in, you know, I don't mind him though.
Mm. Just in case he gets wind of it.
Yeah.
Not I like him. Yeah. I don't mind him.
I don't mind seeing Neil Lennon drinking pints
everywhere
at my local. I don't really know. What should I tell him next time I see him? Give him a bit of encouragement, I reckon.
Yeah.
Tell him that Alan Shearer did mean to do that. When he kicked him in the face.
Don't do that. Absolutely don't.
Imagine
do that.
Going up to anyone in the pub. It's like, I think the bloke who kicked you in the face meant it.
Yeah.
You just got one of those faces, Neil.
Yeah. Can I have one of your pints?
I've never been to Cyprus. Is it pretty small?
I've never been,
either. It's not that. It's not so small that you would see Neil Lennon everywhere.
Yeah. But I mean, it is small. But I mean, why do you think that's... I mean,
I'm just wondering, because maybe it's just a normal thing, you know, because it's a small...
I mean, it's a population of 1.2 million.
Mm. But how many of them are Neil Lennon?
It's comparable to Northern Ireland. Maybe, I don't know. I do not know the mind simply because... Well, please keep us updated, Stelios, on Neil Lennon. And if he deviates from this behaviour and does something a bit worse or a bit better or whatever, you need to let us know.
Well, tell the authorities first and then tell us.
I don't mean that worse. That much worse.
Also, if you regularly see a footballer or a manager just knocking about haunting your life, let us know. Maybe this is more common than we realise.
Show at footballramble.com or tweet us at footballramble. Right, gentlemen, let's turn our attention to the Premier League. Big one on Saturday night, Liverpool versus Spurs. Is this the moment Liverpool's title bid is derailed, Jim? Because this is the toughest game they've got.
Absolutely it is. And also we've seen from how Spurs beat Man City that they're up for these games and they don't give up if they're behind. And that front three is going to cause anyone problems. So I think Spurs have got a really good chance here, actually.
Yes, although Liverpool are brilliant.
There is that. Mm. There is always that.
There is always that. And
they've had a fairly draining game in midweek. I wonder if that is
draining?
Perhaps like overstated.
I don't think it was
often.
That draining the way it finished. I understand at half time.
They had to dig deep to make it finish.
Yeah,
they
expended a lot of physical and emotional energy by the end of that.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they were still in all right nick. Considering how it kind of petered out, I think that they'll be okay.
Yeah, fine.
You're
sold.
You're fine, whatever.
Because on that, I thought, you know, the fact that Spurs have had a week off geared towards this, and beyond the City game, this is Liverpool playing someone who desperately needs something at this stage of the season, which isn't always a guarantee, given where we are, start of May. And there's something about the way that Villarreal went at Liverpool in that first half, which does fit how Spurs go at teams.
Yeah.
Well, Jurgen Klopp said that Spurs are probably the best counter-attacking team in world football right now.
Which
is a mind game.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
But they both play similar ways.
Well, I was going to say.
They're both going to go back and forth.
Yeah, I think it could be a very entertaining game. I do think Liverpool will win.
I think the mental strength Liverpool have in terms of sticking to a plan, you know, being really, really good on those details in game is the best I've ever seen. Really, they're just phenomenal like that.
Klopp said of Song Heung-min, it's like Son has a phone with a navigation system. He just runs and gets the ball played to his feet.
That's really dumb.
Yeah. Mm. Well,
because all phones have navigation systems.
But why would you? I mean, how? I know some of the balls are quite long, but how long are they being played if you need some sort of, you know,
Our ball's getting longer.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Speak to Big Fred. for those who saw that on our Insta.
Don't direct people to it.
Why not?
We nearly got away with it.
No, we put it up on our social media, you madman. talking of social media, though, Son's on Twitter.
Yeah.
Did you see this? Much more wholesome
come off
content.
It again, though, isn't he?
Has he? Oh, that's not very nice, is it?
It's not that he's come off it. He sent his third ever tweet, but it didn't really go that well.
Well, he signed up and said that he was excited to talk to fans about football and his hobbies. And you think, yeah, it's not that nice a place on here.
Yeah.
But I really appreciate you trying to bring some wholesome content anyway. But yeah.
It wasn't that wholesome, was it? It was NFTs.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so everyone was a bit angry. For all the reasons people are angry about NFTs.
Okay, fair enough. Well, look, Liverpool v Spurs, Vish, I'm going to ask for you to predict who's going to win this game.
I think Liverpool are going to win it. I think they're going to win it 3-1.
Okay, like that. Four goals, well, that'll do nicely. And Jim, you would appreciate that because,
I would,
of course,
hope that would also happen, yes.
The race for fourth spot is very hot already. I would say it's hotting up, but it is already hot.
There's a lot of narrative in this game.
An awful lot of narrative.
I'm very pleased there's still so much going on this season, even though it's now to the point it's so stressful for me, I'm not sure I can even enjoy it.
Yeah, title race. We've got a title race.
Yeah, race for Europe.
Race for Europe.
In all competitions, really.
Yes, and a relegation run.
Proper rally.
Relegation, that's where we turn our attention to now. Burnley and Leeds are on 34 points with four games to play. Everton are on 32 with five to play. Frank Lampard has said he and his players are so focused on what they can control that we don't know how many points are needed to stay up.
It's not helpful, that, Frank.
No. Yeah, but I suppose if you just win the games, then you'll be okay. But Leeds United go away to Arsenal on Sunday. And Leeds, because of Jesse Marsh coming in and winning a few games and getting everybody going, Vish, I think maybe people thought, they'll be okay. But you look at it now, their goal difference is the worst. It's almost like an extra point for the other teams around them. Burnley have come into some timely form. Everton are picking up the odd rare win. I mean, beating Chelsea, for crying out loud, you know, incredible. Some people will look at this and think, actually, Leeds might be the most likely to go down now.
Yeah, there was something I found quite disconcerting when I watched them last week. And I couldn't quite put my finger on it, but I think the thing that is really apparent is Jesse Marsh has obviously got them more organised in certain areas, but Leeds' strength was going at teams and flooding them.
Totally.
And against City, they had a few moments where they really snatched at, like, not chances per se, but opportunities to create chances, create, you know, further pressure on goal. And there was like a panicky element to them, because the thing about Bielsa's football was that it's chaos.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but they understand the chaos,
sure.
And you know, within those chaotic moments, they make good decisions. Mm-hmm. And it feels like they've lost that decision making, that cutting edge, which isn't ideal, because you think that'd be an incredible strength when you're trying to thrash out and win some points at this desperate stage of the season. So it's almost like, you know, they don't really create those chances that they used to. They used to bank on them.
Well, they're missing a bit of firepower as well.
Yeah, of course.
Is that also because they're playing City, right? And also with you know, the table looking as it does, is probably a bit of a perfect storm of them maybe not having the best out of the office. So they are unbeaten in their last three away games.
But I thought this against Palace as well.
This is going to be a tough game for us.
Lost one in their last six, but the fact of the matter is they're 2 points above the relegation.
So. Yeah, indeed.
And it is quite surprising, as I say, because Marsh has come along and galvanised them a little bit. They'll be without Stuart Dallas for the rest of the season, who's a crucial player for them after his injury. He started 121 of the club's last 122 league games. So he will be a big miss. But Arsenal, they've got a real chance here, Jim. Spurs away to Liverpool, Arsenal at home to Leeds. You would think that old Arsenal, by the end of play, Jim, will be 5 points above Tottenham.
Well, that's what they're aiming at. But the issue that concerns me a little bit is Arsenal's 6 games without a clean sheet now. So they've got to address that. Obviously, they have an issue when they go behind. They find it hard to come back. I think it might be only the Wolves game at home where they've one from being behind, or it might be only one or two games a season where they managed to do that. So, I mean, that game where they lost 3 games in a row that looked like a really winnable run of games, that doesn't come from nowhere. So Arteta has to make sure that Arsenal are really, really switched on for this and really just are professional and dominant. And
3 wins on the bounce.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, could Arsenal even catch Chelsea? They're only 3 points behind them.
I think that's what they need to aim at. I think there is an outside chance that both North London clubs qualify for the Champions League and Chelsea absolutely.
If Arsenal finished third this season,
it'd be amazing.
It would be amazing, yeah. How about that? Arteta signed a new contract.
He has, yeah.
You happy about that?
I'm very happy about that.
According to Aaron Ramsdale, Cedric Suarez thinks of himself as a future Pep Guardiola.
I don't know how good that, what good news that is for Arteta.
Well,
and
it
probably
could be
quite intimidating
good
for him.
News for Arsenal.
Is Cedric coming for my job, player manager?
Maybe Cedric's just losing his hair.
Yeah, that's
it. It works on him.
You just get really prickly in interviews. We're so happy. Well, there we are. Also, gentlemen, down, speaking of relegation teams and all the rest of it, Burnley versus Aston Villa. Aston Villa haven't won in five, or hadn't won in five, sorry, before beating Norwich last week. Now, Villa, I don't think they're going to get relegated by any stretch, you know, but they are only 8 points above the relegation zone. I mean, again, it should be enough, but they've not been great. They've lost four in the last six. I think sometimes we see Gerrard in the job, we see Coutinho doing some nice bits and pieces and some lovely moments from Ings and Watkins and so on, Fish, but they've not been that good.
No, but I suppose that, you know, that initial good feeling at the start has propelled them into this position where, you know, obviously they're not mathematically safe, but they're not going down.
I can see them improving next season. I think that's probably the takeaway point is that they're very unlikely that they'll be relegated. But it's interesting when you look at the team. Okay, but then Burnley, of course, three wins on the bounce, Jim. You know, tails are up, and it's a big game for them.
It is.
And since Mike Jackson has taken over, he's been nominated for the April Manager of the Month,
and rightly so.
Damn right.
So Villa concede early quite a lot, and Burnley score a lot of their goals quite early. So this. That bodes well for them as well. They've also got this mad situation where they play Villa again on May the 19th.
Yeah.
So I wonder, does this kind of, in terms of the other teams down there, does this give them a bit of an advantage? Because even if they don't win this game, they've got a chance to sort of suss Villa out a bit and kind of have another go at it if it doesn't quite work.
I know what you mean. Yeah. Did you see Burnley's latest accounts released this week show that they will have to pay back a significant portion of the £65 million loan the club took on while being taken over by the ALK Capital? Yeah. Group in December 2020. I mean, the financial...
Seems a ridiculous thing to build into. That, I mean, I don't understand how these huge deals work, but that seems like it's not that unlikely and puts them in a really precarious position.
Yeah, it's. I sincerely hope...
Surely for everyone involved, it's just that bad.
Yeah, well, I know what you mean. I think the ownership of Burnley is increasingly coming under scrutiny and questions. The aforementioned Steven Gerrard and has been spending big, though. He was pictured at a Birmingham curry house a couple of weeks ago where the Liverpool Echo reported that he spent £50 just on prawns.
I've heard this, yeah.
As in, like, prawn curry?
Well, I
and
just...
prawn, you know, prawn starters or whatever.
Maybe.
Or just, give me a van of prawns.
Give me the biggest prawn you've got. I've never had prawns. Bloody hell, they're good. Give me just a bowl of prawns. That's all I want. Give me. Apparently the restaurant is a bit of a celebrity spot, so I'd imagine... That
no, hold on. Read the celebrities.
It's been visited by Harry Redknapp and Peter Shilton.
I mean, it's not a celebrity place, is it?
No, well, there's another one, a bigger name.
Go on.
Tom Cruise.
Shut up.
Tom Cruise was in the news a little while ago. This is not a poem. Tom Cruise was making headlines recently because he went to this exact curry house and they said he had a chicken tikka masala and enjoyed it so much he immediately ordered another one. I'm calling bullshit on that.
Yeah.
Because, like, who alive has ever had room for that? Like, it's just, like, it's too much food.
Also,
I know Tom Cruise is a, you know, probably not of this dimension, but still.
Yeah, and also he's a fine figure of a man. You don't,
but he's not like a.
He's always running though, isn't
type,
he?
Is he?
He's always running.
It. Yeah,
that is true. And he's always or shouting at people, so he burns off calories that way.
Maybe he was eating it on a treadmill.
Imagine how bad the wait staff got shouted at because he said, "Oh, this is amazing. It's probably quite low in calories." Actually, Tom, this is much. Right, bring all your staff out there. I need to shout at them for 2 hours to burn this off.
Not the chef, because I do want another one. But everyone else come outside. Yeah.
Now watch this stunt. Oh dear, good old Tommy. Where were we? Oh
good
yes,
old Tommy.
I think Redknapp and Shiltless. Come on, that's a bit. Whether you like someone or not, right? And we just talked about Tom Cruise, and I know you're a huge fan of his.
Mm.
You love all his films, but you have to say that's big licks. Redknapp and Shilton.
I'll give you Redknapp. I'm not having Shilton.
No, okay.
Shilton's not getting recognised, is he, in a restaurant?
I'd recognise.
While he's tucking into a Rogan Josh.
Gentlemen, we must move on because this weekend, the last day of the Championship season will happen for most of the teams. Some will be involved in the playoffs, but the actual league season will finish. Fulham and Bournemouth automatically up, of course. Nottingham Forest and Huddersfield are safely in the playoffs. Sheffield United and Luton, currently fifth and sixth, both on 72, with Middlesbrough and Millwall 7th and 8th on 70 and 69. We could see a little bit of movement, Jim. Could see a little bit of movement. Millwall go to Bournemouth and Middlesbrough play Preston. Luton host Paul Lintz's Reading and Sheffield United host Fulham. Oh, narrative all over the gaff. Barnsley, Peterborough and Derby, they're already down. But Wayne Rooney has been spotted keeping his trousers up in a very unusual way at Derby's awards. Did you see
At least
this?
He's doing it.
Yeah. I know. Well, I can't say what I want to say about it. A fan said Wayne was in a brilliant mood and spent loads of time with supporters, but every time he posed for a picture, this thing that looked like a shoelace popped up. Now, I think that's very harsh, personally, but if you look at the photos, it should explain it. It's probably a part of the suit, but did look like a bit like he was holding his trousers up with a shoelace.
It's better than, like, the cord from the kettle in his hotel room, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, so it's a tape true. Measure.
Yeah.
Yeah. His wife, Colleen, defended Wayne Rooney's diet recently, because apparently that came under scrutiny. His favourite food is lettuce. He loves salad.
I'm not having that either.
No. Yeah, that's kind of like you tell your parents. Oh, no, yeah. I love lettuce.
Other than a cartoon rabbit, who has that ever been true of?
Yeah.
Yeah, very much so, yeah. Right, everybody, it's time for Betway's Four to Score. Four to Score is free each week. Pick the first goal scorer in Betway's four selected matches for your chance to win the weekly £50,000 jackpot. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. Further T's and C's apply. In game one, it's Arsenal versus Leeds United on Sunday at 2 p.m. Jim, who have you picked?
Eddie Nketiah.
Good choice, sir. Good choice. Game two, Leicester versus Everton, also on Sunday at 2 p.m. Vish, who have you picked?
I've picked James Maddison, but I'm not entirely convinced of it. But something, I think he's going to score. I think maybe a free kick.
Okay.
But it's just something about it, seeing it written down, has me a bit confused.
Mm. Game three, Norwich versus West Ham United, also at Sunday at 2 p.m. Andy Brassel has this to say.
Hello, Ramblers. I've got Norwich versus West Ham for to score. It's going to go one of two ways, isn't it? Either West Ham are going to take their frustrations from Frankfurt out on the team that are bottom of the table, or with all the jam having been taken out of their donut in Germany, they're going to be a bit flat. I'm going to go for the latter. I'm going to go for Timo Pukki to score the opening goal.
Timo Pukki. All right. In game four, Manchester City versus Newcastle United on Sunday at 4:30 p.m. I am going for Kevin De Bruyne. So there we are, everybody. Arsenal versus Leeds. Jim's gone for Eddie Nketiah in Leicester versus Everton. Vish has picked James Maddison in game three, Norwich versus West Ham United. Andy's picked Timo Pukki. And in game four, Manchester City versus Newcastle United, I have picked Kevin De Bruyne. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. You can play for free at betway.com/4 to score. Further T's and C's apply. You've got to be over 18 and do gamble responsibly. For more information on that, head to begambleaware.org. And now it's time for this!
It's the algorithm. What do you want me to do?
This is why I'm fucked.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Marcus's game. Oh, yeah. Jimmy, can you feel it?
I can, actually.
Good boy.
It's unpleasant.
Yes. No, not that. As in Marcus's game. Can you feel it?
Yeah.
Good. What about you, Vish?
It's just... can't, why? It's... the managers. Why is it always the managers?
For crying out loud. Why do we have to have this every time?
Because there's so many other players.
It's like trying to put a child to bed. Just
three clubs. Three clubs for the child to bed. I'd happily do that. I'm not doing old man Wilkinson. Oh, it was Howard Kendall.
It doesn't matter. One's on you, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's all on you, this you silly sausage. Right, okay. Enough of that crap. We're doing managers. Vish, you can go second.
Three,
so, Jim, you're up first. Wait, no. Come on. It's Friday, all right? Don't let me make me cancel your weekend. Jim, you're up for this.
Okay.
You're up first, okay? This man has managed four teams in his professional career.
Mm-hmm.
It's Roberto Martinez.
Okay. I can do four.
You can do all four, can you?
Little shit. What's the point then? You do it.
What's the point?
I think I can do four, but I'm going to try to do four.
Oh, he thinks he can do all four. All right, everybody. Here we go. Jim Campbell to get us off to a flyer in Marcus's game to do all four of Roberto Martinez's teams.
Everton. Belgium. Wigan. And I think Swansea.
It's 1-0 to Jim. Good start. It's a good start for Jimmy Baby. Vish.
Who have we got? Arthur Daly?
You're up first. You're up first. This man has managed 43... This man... it's Pete Donaldson's dad. This man has managed four teams. He is Luis Enrique. What?
Four teams?
Yeah. And this is a timely reminder that B teams and under 21s, all that kind of stuff, it's first teams. First teams is what we're interested in here. Four teams that Luis Enrique has managed.
Four.
Is that your bid?
No.
What's your bid?
Two.
Are you bidding two?
I'm bidding two.
Jim, you can do three, can't you?
I can have a go at three.
Are you
three
going to have a go at three?
Very clever there, isn't he?
Very clever.
Okay.
Jim, can I hear three?
You're going to have to, aren't you?
My brain is so dumb.
Yeah. All right. Can I? You're going all four?
No.
Okay. Jim, three teams Luis Enrique has managed.
Okay. Obviously, Barcelona. Roma.
Oh, for fucking hell, man.
Oh, clearly I'm missing an obvious one then. Where is he now? I don't know where he is at the moment. I'm going to guess Zaragoza.
Oh, Jim Campbell. He's currently manager of Spain. Fucking Jim, you idiot.
You prick.
Oh,
you're almost as thick as I am.
Yeah. When you said Roma, I was
I had it in my head that he said he didn't want to manage Spain, but I'm thinking of because he was linked with Man United, and I was like, well, why would he do that? So I tripped myself up.
He's very much managed Spain before and now.
And now, yeah. Do you remember there was a thing of when he came back because the guy who had the position didn't leave?
Jim, this is what this game does to you. Don't worry, pal. It's one all. The other team was Celta that he managed. Now, Jim, this man has managed 13 sides.
I hate you.
Good God.
It's Marcelo Lippi.
Lippi? Fuck me.
Yeah. You could be 2-0 up right now, but it's one all. Lippi, 13 sides.
Should be 2-0 up.
Yeah.
It's a disgrace.
Neither of you will get all 13.
No.
That's a clue. What a manager, though, eh? What a man. Jimmy.
Yeah, I'm going to go three.
Three, yeah.
Four?
Okay.
Straight in there with four.
Yeah, Mr. Journalist over there.
Yes, Jim.
I'm not going to go five.
Was that a little mind game? Oh, you're a journalist, you should know this stuff.
Well, he should, shouldn't he? He should really never get any of these wrong.
Well, he hasn't so far.
True.
Right, but he's got a chance to get one wrong now. Four teams that Marcelo Lippi has managed.
So Juventus. Inter. Imagine Real Madrid. Why have I done that?
What are they going to say about that, Danny? A new J bar.
He managed Pontedera, obviously, Siena, Pistoiese,
which is Cararese, definitely pronounced like that.
Cesena,
Pistoiese,
Lucchese, Atalanta. Now we get into the proper ones. Atalanta, Napoli, Juventus, Inter, back to Juventus, Italy.
Oh.
Wangzhou Evergrande, who could forget?
Fucking dickhead.
And China. There we are. Jim Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
No. Vish is first. Sorry, forgive me. You've got to get this one, Vish.
Do you think Andy will talk to me again because I've guessed Real Madrid for Marcelo Lippi?
I think he will. I think he was a very kind man. Too kind, one might argue. This man has managed five teams. It's Frank Rijkaard.
Ooh.
Ooh, hoo, hoo, hoo. The curious case of Frank Rijkaard's managerial career. Vish, can I get a bid, bruv? Is he going to push the boat out? How many?
Oh, God.
Come on. How many? Give me a number.
Two.
Two. Jim Campbell. He's gone conservative. Can you guess three clubs? No, well, sorry, teams that Frank Rijkaard has managed?
I can without confidence.
Are you going to go three?
For
the win. For the win.
I am.
Jim Campbell. Three teams that Frank Rijkaard has managed.
Barcelona. I believe he's been national team manager in the Netherlands.
Here we go.
I know he's had a very, very weird career. I'm
here
gonna,
we go. Here we go. Is
I
he going to
despite his where he played, I'm going to... My brain's suggesting Feyenoord.
Is that your guess?
Uh-huh.
It goes to the last man.
Oh, wow.
Shouldn't,
Sparta
should it?
Rotterdam.
Mm-hmm.
Tricky, to be fair. Tricky. But Galatasaray was where he went after Barcelona. And Saudi Arabia.
Mm. Weird, very weird career.
Yes. Outstanding work at Barcelona. Everywhere else. Yeah. we go down.
This really is a classic, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I am so glad that the win is riding on this. He's managed. And I'm so glad I'm in the chair. He's managed 21 sides.
This is absolute bullshit.
God.
This is absolute bullshit.
I'll go to bed.
It's Luis Felipe Scolari. Jim, you're up first. 21 bloody sides.
Oh, my God.
There are guesses to be had in this. Come on. Have a bit of respect for Big Phil.
There are guesses to be had, but it's not the Stoke QPR Sunderland triumvirate, is it? Let's be honest.
Well, they're perhaps a Brazilian equivalent, one may say.
There may be.
21 teams.
21
That
teams
big, bold beauty has
big
managed.
Phil. I'm going to go for three.
I think that's not a bad guess.
Four.
Four?
I'm going to have to go for four.
You're going to have to, Jim?
No.
Okay, so I think most people will realise why you're going to have to go for four, but let's see what you've got. Okay, oh, blimey. I might as well just scroll up to that point there because it's unlikely you'll get any of them. Right, Vish, far away for the win.
Brazil, Chelsea, Saudi Arabia.
Just going to have a scroll here, so hold on to your butts.
Jim Campbell wins! Flawless victory!
Viva España!
A double fist pump from Jim Campbell there. Oh, Vichy, Vichy, Vichy. I'm surprised that you didn't mention Portugal before Saudi Arabia.
Oh, why am I so dumb?
Who is the other side you were going to say?
I was just going to pick
a Brazilian side.
Yeah, Corinthians.
Same. I was going to guess Palmeiras.
Yeah. Well, he did manage Palmeiras. I mean, we could be here today. CSA, Juventud, Brazil, De Poletas, Al Shabab, Poletas again, Juventud, Gremio, Goiás, Al Qadisiya, which perhaps maybe you were thinking Saudi Arabia because he managed Kuwait as well. Very brief though, in 1990. Oh. Curitiba, Curitiba, Gremio, Iwata in the Far East, I believe, Palmeiras, Cruzeiro, Brazil, Portugal, Chelsea. That was the sweet spot, Brazil, Portugal, Chelsea. Is that what you have, Jim?
No, I didn't have Portugal. I had Palmeiras.
Okay.
Portugal, I also forgot.
Beyond Yocador, which I think was in Uzbekistan. He managed in Uzbekistan for a bit. Palmeiras, Brazil, Gremio, Guangzhou Evergrande, back to Palmeiras, Cruzeiro, Gremio, Atletico Paranense, which of course is where he is now.
So all those teams, and even my Brazilian stab in the dark was wrong.
Yeah. Oi, it's bedtime, Vish, isn't it? It's time for you to go to bed while everybody else has got a weekend to look forward to because the gate is open!
And a win's a win.
A win's a win, everybody. Jim Campbell.
I'm going to torch the house by the time you get back.
Jim Campbell, you lead the charge. You get to pick this weekend song for everybody to run through the gate to. What are you picking?
Raspberry Beret, mate.
Absolutely right. He's picking Raspberry Beret by Prince. Vish, who knows? Perhaps you'll never get a pick, and that will be fine by me. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betway. Have a lovely old time, everybody. I'm working part-time out of five and dime. Thank you very much, Jim Campbell.
You're very welcome.
Thank you for Tushin Hantaraja.
Just let's let them go. Let me go.
Everybody's out there. Have a lovely one, everybody. Lots of love. See you next week.
Oh, dumb!
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there.
Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.